On today's episode, I got to have a little bit of fun talking about music, some of the stuff that I grew up on. Just so happens that this DJ really knows the good stuff. And we had a lot of fun talking about what he enjoys doing, his journey to where he is today, and what the future of his business looks like. And there's a little caffeine jolt involved as well. So let's go ahead and get into this episode. Let me know what you think in the comments. Thanks so much.
Welcome to Getting to Know the 570,
brought to you by Conversion Works Media,
a show that hosts special guests from in and around Northeast PA, sharing their stories, knowledge, and experiences in their work and personal lives.
Because let's face it,
doing business with locals feels good, but giving business to someone you know feels even better.
And now here's your host, Frank Sefko.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Getting to Know the 570. Today, we have Gatsby Sound and Lighting, and with us, we have the owner and DJ, Jared Tennant, or a.k.a. DJ Gatsby, who also, by surprise, he brought in some coffee, and he's got another project that he's going to be telling us about, Hip Hop Coffee Shop. So really excited to have him here. Jared, thanks for being with us.
Hey, I appreciate you guys having me on the show. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. So it's interesting because there's a little bit of a connection here, right? Honeybee Mobile Brew was the original. They came in, Sean and Monica came in, and then we actually met you at one of the events that we were doing with them. And yeah, it was a while back. It was back when the weather was warm.
Yeah.
But it's good to see you. And yeah, we were very eager to have you come in. So I'm glad we had the opportunity to do so. So we always like to start out with, you know, sort of just giving a high end, right? We'll dive into the history and do all that stuff as we go. But just to get started and sort of talk a little bit more specifically about what Gatsby Sound and Lighting does, tell us, give us the high end, right? What services do you offer? What do you guys do?
Yeah, so we are a DJ service. We also provide lighting, sound, of course, obviously Gatsby Sound and Lighting, right? So we do about 70 weddings a year, plus other corporate events all over Northeast PA, up and down the East Coast. We've been everywhere from Atlantic City, Philadelphia, New York, to upstate New York. So clients will hire us all over the Northeast, and primarily here in Northeast PA. And, you know, we go and we try to put on the party that Gatsby would. So
now, I always love when I hear somebody say something like that, because I'm curious, you know, there's a ton of DJs, right? Ton of these businesses out there, and everybody has their little thing that they do differently. I think something that makes them a little extraordinary, a little special. What's DJ Gatsby's, you know, thing?
Yeah, so I think that, you know, at first look, if you go and you look at our socials, you look at our website, you can see the setup and what we bring to the table as far as how things are going to look. And whether that be just the straight setup with the dance floor lighting, or, you know, us bringing out, we have the indoor sparklers, we've got the dancing on the cloud effect. So we offer a lot of different things, the uplighting around the room. So you know, as far as looks go, we're as good and can compete with anybody out there as far as looks. Myself personally, you know, very organized guy, very straightforward. And, you know, there's other DJs that have said it, and I agree 100%. When we go and we do a wedding, every wedding is the Super Bowl, right? This is the biggest day until you have kids or you had kids. This is going to be the biggest day for this couple. So everyone is a Super Bowl, and you have to show up, and you've got to give 110%, and that's what we do. So I have myself as the DJ. We have a couple of people that rotate in the team that help me out with, you know, setting everything up, helping with the lighting, the photo booth. We do offer a photo booth as well. And just myself personally, as far as a DJ goes, I have my own kind of things that I – kind of gravitate towards as far as music. But I think that the big thing for me is you've got to make sure, and this is kind of geeking out on the DJ side.
That's
but
cool.
The biggest thing is, you know, song selection, number one. myself and the clients, whether that's a bride and groom or whether that's the corporate client or somebody that's having a party, we've had conversations already about, okay, this is the type of vibe that you want to set, right? So we accommodate that. We know what the vibe is. And the second thing is transitions, right? So if you've ever been to a party or a bar or a club or a wedding, the DJ, how's he going to get from song to song, right? You can't have the music stop. It's got to be a smooth transition. It can't be something up-tempo and then drastically drop into something else unless it's for an effect. So these are just things to take into consideration, like what is your DJ bringing to the table? These are things that I do, that I'm working on, some, you know, some scratching for some flare and flash. And so that's just kind of what I do, what I bring to the table, and I think why at this point in my career, clients know what they're getting from me. They've seen me on socials. They've been to weddings or events that I've done. So they know what DJ Gatsby's going to bring.
Are you a hype guy? You're like an MC
I'm
hype guy?
I'm not all over the mic. I don't think that, just like karaoke, right? If somebody comes up and is like, hey, can I get the mic so I can sing some Journey song at an event? Nope. Let's let them do it. That's what I guarantee. The Journey did it better than you're going to. I do what I need to do on the mic as far as introductions and getting people hyped for that. But I feel like for the most part, I'm going to let my music do the talking, how I drop songs, my song selection, reading the dance floor. That's what I'm good at. I don't want to have to be on the mic because I don't think people want to hear somebody screaming all over the mic all night. And it's different for different situations. There's guys that are phenomenal at it, but that's just not my style.
Now, I got to know because I think about when I've been at, you know, many of weddings and events, and when you see the people running up and they – like you already have a schedule really, right? And then they're running up and trying to make requests.
Yeah.
And they want you to like shift and move. Is this like a routine thing? I mean, how do you handle that?
It is. And I mean, even manufacturers of DJ equipment, we'll start there, right? So if I buy something from Pioneer or some other manufacturers, it comes with stickers that say no request, right? So that's like a running joke in the DJ community. No requests.
Play Freebird, right?
So, yeah, the way that, and all requests aren't bad, and I think this is something that needs to be addressed, but all requests aren't bad, but if it doesn't fit the vibe that we're going for, you know, these two people or the corporate event, then it's not that I don't like you. It's not that I necessarily don't like the song that you want played.
Yeah.
It's just that it's not going to fit into what we're trying to do. So, you know, a good example is we're, you know, it's 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night. We're in, you know, 90s, 2000s hip hop, right? And Uncle Neil comes up. He's like, hey, can you play?
Welcome to the jungle.
That would even be welcome, but you should hear some of the requests you get sometimes. Okay. They're so far off the wall. You know, can you play Conway Twitty or something?
And oh, there you go.
It's people don't think, you know, how is this going to fit into what this guy's trying to do?
Yeah. You go from dancing around to the next thing you know, you're like, I'm a rhinestone cowboy. You're like, wow, this whole place just died out.
Yeah, so you can't clear out a whole dance floor just to appease one person. And yeah. that's what people need to understand. It's nothing personal against you. And, you know, if I could play everybody's song, I wish I could, but unfortunately, it's just not going to happen. We're not going to ruin these people's night to accommodate this one request.
I mean, it's funny because I think back to an event. I don't remember who the DJ was. I wouldn't blast them out anyway, but it was a long time ago. My grandparents were still around at the time, and it was their 50th wedding anniversary, and. It was in a church reception banquet center, like, you know, it was just the setting was appropriate. I think it was a good big old party. They had this DJ come in, and you know the audience is an older crowd mostly, and then there's all the friends and family, of course, that you know that's where maybe some of the younger folks were, but He played, I'll never forget, we were all looking at each other, and at one point in his mix, he ended up playing I Like Big Butts. Mm-hmm. And then the other song was that Eeny Weeny Shriveled Little Short Man. And we're all like, this guy's playing this at a 50th wedding anniversary. And I mean, he was probably in his like late 60s, and he's up there and he's got the headset on and he's got the one muff off of his ear, and he's like, he's bobbing and looking and like playing like he's on the mixer board and all that. And I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It was just incredible. And it was like, this is a train wreck right now.
Yep.
Oh, it's so funny. But people requested those songs and he had no idea. He was just like, sure. Mm-hmm. And then he was playing it. And you got these older folks that are sitting around like, what are we listening to?
Yeah.
Oh, yep. So funny.
And, you know, and it's something that couples have and places have do not playlists too, right? So they'll put songs. I use a planning app, a music planning app, that they can go in and it helps them pick out music for open dancing or dinner or ceremony, stuff like that. And there's also a do not playlist on there too that you could add songs. So if you don't want the Macarena played, and I'm not a big line dance guy either. Like I don't play line dances unless couples specifically want me to. It's not something that that I really do. But I don't throw couples under the bus, right? So if you put Macarena on there and Aunt Sue comes up and is like, hey, can you play the Macarena? I'm not like, well, no, those two over there said absolutely not. I usually just say, yeah, I'll try to work it in. And
then it just never happens.
It just kind of goes away. There's usually not that many people that are real persistent about what song they requested. I think that if you don't play it after a while, they kind of get the point that, hey, it's maybe not going to happen tonight.
You get that grimy uncle who's coming up to you with like a folded $1 bill, and he's like, hey, come on. You know you can play this for me. Come on, buddy.
Yep.
And then you look down, and it's a one.
Yeah.
I love that. I love it so much. Oh, my God. It's so funny. Now, is Chicken Dance still up there in the top here in the Northeast? Is like a regular played thing at most weddings?
No, I don't.
Is it dying out?
It's dying out. I think that there are some formalities and some songs that are finally dying out that we're not going to hear for too much longer. But amazingly enough, you know, even once or twice a year to see that on the list of songs that couples want played, I am shocked. But
to still see it?
Yeah, I am shocked.
I mean, I think it's here in the Northeast in particular, I think it's like a staple for a lot of families just because it's this thing you feel like compelled you have to do. I know my wife and I had it at our wedding, and I was just like, oh, why are we doing this?
Yeah, and a lot of couples feel that way. A lot of couples, you'll see a song, and, you know, I'll be like, hey, how did this, just out of curiosity, how did this end up here? Well, my grandmother is really going to appreciate you playing this. So, and the Chicken Dance is usually that song, so.
What's the big song right now for couples dance? Like the top one that you're seeing.
Oh, for like their first dance?
Yeah.
It's such a variety. It's usually country songs.
They're crushing it these days.
The first dance country songs are killing it, but it's such a variety. I can't think offhand what I would pick as the number one, but yeah, definitely a handful of country songs out there that are the first dance.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, too, what's nice about the first dance songs is they will introduce me to a lot of artists that I had no idea about before. Now, I might have said before, like, I'm obviously with the hip-hop coffee shop, right? So I'm a 90s, early 2000s hip-hop head. Like, that's my wheelhouse. I know everything there is to know about that era of music. And beyond that, like, on the school bus, we listen to country every day. So, like, I know early 90s country. I'm not a big country. I'm not against country. I just don't listen to a lot of it now. But with these first dance songs or some other indie artists, you know, with the way couples can stream music and find music on streaming services, YouTube, all these places. I mean, they can find
obscure artists.
They can find acoustic versions. They can find acoustic versions. So they introduced me to a lot of people that I otherwise would have had no idea who they were. So that's one really cool thing. So, okay, I can now see, And maybe Haley Reinhart might be a bigger example, but now I can go and look at all of her songs and what cover songs has she done, things like that. So,
what do you mean when you said school bus? What you said school bus?
Oh, so riding the school bus back when I was a little kid. Like,
oh, okay.
The bus driver had country music on. So
okay.
I was listening to Conway Twitty back then, Sammy Kershaw, Brooks and Dunn. So those are like the country people that I know that if people wanted that type of country, like, yeah, I can bring back the school bus days.
Toby, God
yes,
bless us.
Yes, God bless.
God rest his soul.
Yep.
Man, he was a big part of my my 20s.
Mm.
You know, that the bar song. I mean, the Red Solo Cup. Like, boy, that was sad to see him go.
Yeah. Yep.
They paid a lot of nice tribute to him. But it's amazing what music does for us, right? I mean, like, you could hear a song and sometimes it just takes you somewhere.
Yeah.
I think that's what's cool about what you get to do, because different songs will really mean something special to somebody.
Yeah.
So it's like it puts them in a place overtly emotional, right? It's like my dad died or somebody, and then this song meant the world to him, so we're gonna play it, and then the whole room is crying, but you're the one who hit the button,
yep.
You know. So it's kind of cool in that way.
Yeah,
not to make people, but you know what I mean.
Yeah,
that's a neat thing. I mean, what do you love most about what you do?
I think
so. Cliche to ask that.
No, but there is a lot of people assume that as a DJ that you're just up there pushing buttons sometimes, right? You're not, but there's a very artistic side to it, that you're picking the songs, you're matching the speeds of the song. So the way that you measure how fast or slow a song is called BPM. It's beats per minute. And that can kind of tie into the requests as well. So let's say we're playing I'm Good by Bebe Rexha, right? One of the biggest hits of last year. So that song is 128, 130 BPM, fast dance song. If you go from that to Party Up by DMX, which is 100 BPM, right? That could be a shocker. That's a big change in speed. But the Party Up by DMX is, it comes in, it hits right off the beginning, and it's recognizable. So I would say the artistic side of being able to go out and play music, get people excited about it, you know, do my scratching, do stuff like that, little word plays that you loop Baby on one song and then you drop Baby by Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
You know, 9 out of 10 people, flies right over their head. They didn't see it. But you do it for the one. You do it for the one that smiles and looks at you and says, I caught that.
Nice,
right?
Transition, yeah.
So that's the one that you do it for. And so I would say that it's almost like a fix in a way, right? So when you play that right song and the crowd just erupts out there, or everybody comes running to the dance floor, that's kind of what you do it for. Eventually it gets to the point where it's like, you know what, I'm going to drop this and see what kind of reaction I'm going to get. I'm going to test out this new song and see if, you know, this new Dua Lipa song does anything. And so it's kind of like this trial and error sometimes, but just getting that reaction and feeding off of the crowd. When you get in that zone, like you have them in the palm of your hand. There's nothing like that as far as being a DJ.
Yeah. Brian, what's our song? There's a one that we always go nuts over. I mean, I know what it is.
The Fast and the Furious.
Danza Kedora.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The name.
Yeah.
Like every time
and I lost it.
I know, man. Yeah. I thought you were going to be on it.
That's, yeah.
Danza Kedora.
Yeah, we're Don Omar, right?
Yeah, Don Omar. If we hear that, it's like, all right, this party started.
Yeah,
we are not alone on that either.
No, I know.
Our friends Chris and Cassandra, they got married like a couple years back and up at like Hillside Farms. That came on and people went nuts.
Well,
lost their ever loving
mind. Yeah, I mean, it's just a fun, it makes you want to move.
Mm-hmm.
But like 5 seconds before that, he was dancing with his mom to like Cat Stevens. So it's like, you want to talk about like your shifts,
yeah,
right?
Right.
Yeah.
It's going low tide to high tide quick.
Yep.
That's funny. I love the era that you said that you like to play. Do you have some favorites?
Yeah. So as far as artists go, and these aren't necessarily artists that I would play at events, but as far as my favorite artists, Nas, Jay-Z, Jadakiss, Notorious B.I.G. Now, you know, there's Biggie songs. There's some Jay-Z songs that I'll play at weddings. DMX, I'll play some songs at weddings. Just depends. But
you a Tupac guy?
I am. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, me too.
So there's a little wordplay there with Justin Bieber. And again, this is one that I don't know if anybody catches when I do it. So Justin Bieber's got the Peaches song. And it says, I get my weed from California, right? And then so you loop that, and then you drop
California love.
And I mean, in my head, I'm like, and then, you know, there's I remember one wedding, there was a group of people that loved it. Like, it was so those are like the little wins for me sometimes that that I get a big kick out of.
Yeah, but that's fun, you know. I mean, at least it also allows you to enjoy your job.
Yeah.
Yep. That's do you make mixes at home?
I do. So I have a YouTube channel and I'll post mixes on there, and that's where I'll play primarily the stuff that I want to play. So it gives me a chance to play the songs I want to play, because they're and play new boom bap style music. So boom bap hip hop being like that 90s, 2000s hip hop music. Because so much, and maybe I'm 41 now, and maybe it's because I'm 41, but so much of the newer music, I don't feel like we get the, let's call them bangers, right? We don't get the bangers today that we used to get back in early 2000s, 2010.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much good or great music is coming out, you know, going back to like Houdini by Dua Lipa or...
In the hip-hop realm anyway, I would say. Like the,
yeah.
Because it's tough because it's all starting to sound a lot alike or... You know, the ones that ends up turning into bangers, interestingly enough, and I think you can see this pattern, they actually are using retro music beat,
yep.
Right? So they'll figure out a way to reinvent something. Maybe they're even going back to, like, the 60s, pulling some blues beats out or something and then ripping something out, and you're just like, man, that's a good one.
Yeah. So I think that the sampling definitely keeps things alive for some new music. But a lot of it is just, you're right. It sounds the same. But these older artists, they're selling out tours. They were talking about it last year. The older artists are selling out tours. The newer artists, the younger guys, they are not. I mean, Drake is going to sell out a tour. He's going to sell out. But some of these other guys, they're not selling out arenas the way that they thought they would. But you put Nas and Wu-Tang out there, they're selling out arenas.
Yeah.
And they're 50 years old.
Yeah.
So who would have thought that these guys would be doing what they're doing at 50? And, you know, some of these newer people that, yeah, they've got 8 million social media followers, but not one of them's going to go buy a ticket to watch them in person. So...
Saw LL taking the stage for New Year's. I thought that was pretty wild.
Yep.
But he still looks good. I mean, the guy's got, you know, he's one. I used to love his music.
Yeah.
That would be on a regular rotation of the CDs in my car.
Yep.
For sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, and then just yesterday, Salt-N-Pepa just came out with a new song. So they're on a new track, which, I mean, I never thought that they'd put out another song.
No.
And it's good. It's really good. So it's just it's hard to find. Like if you go into Spotify, you go into Tidal, or any of those streaming services, like those artists, they're still putting music out. Nas is still putting out a lot of music, and these other guys, but it's buried. Like you got to sift through all the other stuff before you can find what I'm looking for. Anyway.
Yeah. Right. Right. If I were to jump in your car and hit play right now. What would come on?
So you would hear new album, Benny the Butcher. Now he's a boom bap hip hop type artist. He's an old school type guy from Buffalo, New York. And the reason that I grew up in upstate New York.
Okay.
I'm a huge fan of, he's part of this crew called Griselda. So I'm a huge fan of these guys that all of a sudden, so, you know, hip-hop originated. We just celebrated 50 years of hip-hop last year. And so, you know, it originated in the Bronx and everything as far as origin stories and kind of who was running rap and hip-hop for a long time was New York City. But now these guys from Buffalo, him, his, and cousin. I believe they're both his cousins. These guys from the Griselda crew, like, they're the big dogs in hip-hop right now. So to see, and they're 40. Like, they're not young guys. They're 40, 42 years old. So they've just been grinding away their entire career, and now they're finally on top. So to see that they're succeeding after putting in just this consistency, you know, grinding and grinding. And, you know, it, for another upstate guy, not that we necessarily have a lot in common other than that, but to see that and what they've put into it and now are getting out of it is just kind of like, kind of like a win for me in a way.
Well, it's neat. Yeah, it's the roots. It's to kind of have the appreciation for probably how much time they've put into getting to where they are.
Mm-hmm.
That's always cool. I love a good Rudy story.
Yeah. So, you know? So I'll listen to that because it is kind of like old school stuff. And then I'll listen to, you know, some Jay-Z, some Nas, and P. Diddy here and there.
Yeah. I mean, all that music will take me back. I love, that's why I'll slap on Sirius in the car because, I love putting some of those old, state, the older, I say old, but I mean, I'm 44, so I'm right there with you. Yeah. So it's the old, hip hop style music. I mean, we used to cruise the Ave, right? Like, that's what we would did. We would drove around aimlessly when everybody chipped in $5 for gas, you know, and that was it. Music is like, was everything. Yeah. We would park, we would turn the stereos up. The parking lot would be loaded with music. Mm-hmm. We were car DJs at the time.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, yeah, it's just a lot of fun. I have some friends from a long time ago that tried to pursue their careers in DJing. It was tough for them. I mean, they didn't want to do weddings. They wanted, you know, they had dreams of being the you know, DJ, so many names, Tiesto and all these guys, you know, that's what they wanted to go and sort of do. And that's tough. I mean, you're in such a crowded space. And you got to get lucky. I think you got to meet somebody and be lucky. And the thing is a lot of them had enough talent that they could have done things, you know, on a service level, but they passed it up.
Yeah.
And but it's good to see, you know, that we have, yeah, because you're not just doing it for the money. You obviously you really love what you're doing.
I love what I do. You know, speaking of those, like I make the beats as well. Now that's a whole nother thing that is more of a hobby for me than anything else. But I enjoy it. Like, I enjoy music.
It's like therapeutic almost,
it is,
right?
It is. And the cool thing for me now, too, is aside from doing the weddings and the corporate events and that, is that being early 40s is now a lot of people, you know, I don't know how many people celebrate 30-year-old birthday parties, but I wouldn't have gotten into birthday parties, you know, in the past, but now it's like, okay, there's a lot of people, and I've started getting a lot of inquiries for 40th birthday parties. And at first I was like, nah, I don't want to do that. I don't want to take up more time. I want to focus on the other stuff. But then I started thinking, and I did one. It's like, you know what? I'm playing all the music that
you
I like.
Play, yeah.
I get to play all the stuff that I like, and I'm going to get to ride this wave with these guys back up to 50, 60, if I'm still around doing it.
Yeah.
You know, because nobody's going to know that better than me. I'm right in your zone. I mean, I'm playing Ace of Base, The Sign. Let's play Nelly. Let's play Vitamin C from when you graduated.
Oh, wow.
Remember that song?
Oh, wow.
So that has, like, gotten me even more excited about what I do because...
CNC Music Factory was my first album I ever had, my first CD.
Mm.
CD. Do you remember yours?
I think it was Ace of Base, Sign.
Ace of Base was your first CD?
I think it was the first CD. I was getting cassettes. I was still on. I didn't want to.
Was that the one with the roses on the cover? It was like gray and it had like roses or something.
I thought it was green. I thought this one was green.
I remember. I could visualize it. I don't know. We'll have to look into that.
Yeah.
Brian, look it up if you get a chance. First Ace of Base CD with the album look like. I'm just curious for conversation's sake.
Yeah, I thought it was green, but it could have had the.
I thought it was gray and it had like flowers or something on it, and then wasn't it her face?
It's both. It's green and it has flowers on it.
Oh, okay.
All right. Was there roses?
There one big rose, I guess.
Yeah, all right, cool. Well, at least I'm not crazy. I mean, that's cool. Yeah, I that's what I mean. Like, you say something, and it took me to a place, you know, which is why I think it's really cool. Now, you're married, right?
Yeah.
What did you do for your wedding?
So I got married before I became a DJ. So I started DJing full time. I've always had a huge passion for music. Became a DJ full time, I believe it was 2019 when we made the plunge all in. So I wasn't like, when we were planning, I wasn't really, I mean, I was involved in stuff, but I wasn't really too concerned about the DJ at that time for whatever reason. I did put together a 300 song playlist for
there
him.
There you go.
So I had my hand in that part, but as far as, you know, I wasn't really thinking about any of the other stuff at that point, as far as DJs go.
Nah, that's all right. I mean, but I felt like whether you were or not, I felt like you probably had your hand in on that in some capacity.
Yep.
So, that's funny.
But the guy we hired, he did a good job. So I was happy. The guests were happy. So everything went well.
What did was there somebody or what inspired you to do this?
So just wanting to be happy, I guess. So I was at a point where I wasn't doing something that I loved anymore. And I don't know what necessarily inspired it, but one day in October of, I guess it was 2018. I always get the year 2018 or 2019 mixed up. But anyway, it was October. I came home and I told my wife, you know what? I don't want to do what I'm doing anymore. I want to do something that I actually enjoy. And all of a sudden, DJ equipment started showing up at the house. And my wife said to me, this is a couple weeks later, she's like, you want to be a DJ? And now I'm, 35, 36 at this point. We have a son that's one or two. And I'm not, you know, I don't know if I want to be a DJ. I don't know what I want to do. All I know is that I have the ability to take some time to figure out what it is I want to do and be happy doing it for the rest of my life, hopefully. So thankfully, she was supportive of the idea. I don't know why, but she was supportive. And in January of the following year, I did my first gig at a small bar in Drums, PA.
Were you nervous as shit or what?
I was. But I had been practicing nonstop. My transitions were clean. My transitions have been clean since day one. So I felt like my song selection was on point for what I was trying to do, right? Show up to the place. It's my wife, some friends, her family. Now, inviting friends and family, probably shouldn't have done that. Like, I didn't need more people there to make me feel more nervous. Like, this guy thinks he's a DJ now. Let's all go see what happens. What kind of train wreck is this going to be?
Like, yay, Jared.
So that's all that's there, along with three elderly guys sitting at the bar that fold up a napkin and have them walk it over. And there's three requests on there that play Elvis, play this, play that. So this is my first, my first experience with getting requests on a folded up napkin. And believe me, that was not the set that I had in mind. Now, being my first set, like, I had things planned out of what I'm going to play and how I'm going to do it. Now it's more off the cuff. Like, I have somewhat of a game plan, but for the most part, you know, I'm doing my thing out there. So, you know, I was a little frazzled. Like, well, I got to try to please these guys because they're the only three that are actually real customers here.
Right.
So, I was nervous, but it went well. And then, you know, I definitely didn't anticipate becoming a wedding DJ. But I think that part of that is just being a decent human being and being able to work with people, being able to communicate with the couples. So I booked a small wedding, and then it just kind of steamrolled from there. The first year we did 20, the next year we did...
First year you did 20 weddings.
I did 20 weddings.
Just because you put your name out there?
The name was out there. I have somewhat of a knack, we'll say, for marketing and getting it out there. And I also teamed up with another DJ who threw me some events as well. So
I'm interested to expand on that a little bit. You said I have somewhat of a knack for marketing. I mean, almost all, I mean, not all of them, but a ton of our listeners are business owners, mm-hmm. right? They love hearing the stories. And I know that a little bit of insider information in regards to some things that worked for you, mm-hmm. you know, I'm sure that would be extraordinarily appreciated and valued by them. Like, what did you do that worked?
Consistency is the number one thing, and I talked about that a little bit before. But just as far as socials go, just consistency, doing the research of what SEO words to use, right? What hashtags to use to get my name out there, and then also just kind of pounding the pavement in a way. Like, and I'm not for my job. I guess I have to be extroverted, right? But in my mind, I'm not. Like, I'm not looking to go out and just chat with people for the sake of it usually. But I knew, hey, if this is my dream, if I want to be a DJ, whether I'm going to be a wedding DJ or I'm going to be the next Kid Capri, I've got to go out and I've got to meet people. So whether that meant, you know, going to a local bar and listening to the other DJ that's there, introduce myself to the management so that they knew who I was. I put together mixes. I put them online because then, you know, if the manager wants to hear how does this guy play, then they can do that. So I had kind of all my ducks in a row going into it. And then I would message restaurant owners. I would message clubs, bars. Hey, I know you guys do brunch. How about doing a hip-hop brunch, right? And I still get shut down. I still message people sometimes. Like, I wake up on Sunday mornings, I'm like, you know what? I want to do hip-hop brunch. I know a place that's doing a hip-hop brunch. They've got a DJ that already does it, but maybe he's not going to be there one day. So I message him. We already have a DJ. Okay, but you know what? Maybe he's not going to be there someday. So I think persistency and consistency just kind of, and they follow me back on social media. So they like my stuff. And so I'm out there. People see it. And that's kind of all I do is I just put it out there and hopefully it comes back to me and I'm patient and it comes back eventually.
The better question is, do you still do like clubs or bars, or are you just solely the events?
So I started out doing the clubs and the bars, and last year I probably did it. I did five bar club events. This year I opened up for a fellow DJ just a couple weeks ago, and it's something, I don't know if it's something that I want to continue to try to do more of, or if I want to pursue other things and put my efforts into doing other events, DJ type events. Just because at this point in my life, you know, 10 to 2 o'clock in the morning is late for me. Yes, and yeah. Whether I get home at 2 or I get home at 11 o'clock from a wedding, my 6-year-old is coming in he's coming in hot at 6:30 in the morning, and he's coming for dad.
Yeah.
So, you know, only having that 4 hours of sleep is tough. But I enjoy it. It's a different animal. So what I found, especially a couple weeks ago, I opened up for this guy, phenomenal DJ. So, and I'm a big fan of his. So, and I've done it for him a couple of times.
Primarily a club DJ.
Yeah. And the interesting thing that I've found is you could put 500 people out in front of me at a club, right? And these are 500, let's call them college age kids. You put the same 250, you put 1,000 people at a corporate event in front of me. I'm a completely different DJ. I could, not because I have to play different music, but just the mindset for me, like, I've done in the past few years, I've done 300 weddings, right? So I walk into a wedding, I own that venue, that wedding, that night. That is my event in my mind. Like, I'm going to put on a show for this couple. I walk into the club, you know, I've done it 20 times. I'm timid. I'm not doing the same mixes that I would normally do. I'm making some mistakes.
Yeah, it's not like a regiment like
yeah.
you.
Yeah, and so it's kind of like it's a different mindset for me. And I should, that's the only thing kind of keeping me wanting to do that is like I want to own that club the way I feel like when I walk into the wedding, like I'm going to put on a show here tonight. I want to be able to go in and do that there. And it's not to say I'm, you know, terrible when I go there, but it's just, it's not the same. Like, the confidence level is not the same.
Oh, that's cool that you admit that.
Yeah. So that's my thing there is, do I want to overcome that? What do I have to prove? Do I have to prove something to myself, or do I continue doing what I'm good at? Let's do my 40-year-old birthday parties, right? Where I know that I'm going to play awesome music that I love. So I don't know. We'll see where that takes us.
It's tough. That business is tough too, though, because you know, the clubs and bars, like, they aren't what they used to be, right? So then, unfortunately, I think that really sort of comes back down to brass tacks too, because mm-hmm. bars and clubs, they're just not willing to pay, right? And if you could be like super talent, and unless you can guarantee that you're going to pack their house with people, they'll look for the cheapest guy to do the job, and that's what sucks there a little bit from that perspective. Where, you know, weddings, like, if you're the guy, you're the guy. At right. least you're getting paid what you deserve, in most cases. And I think that's you know, I think it just makes a lot of sense to be, you know, especially you're good at that,
right?
So, but I think that's cool. What you said about the 40-year-old part, you know, the 40-year-old birthdays and this sort of generational thing. Well, I mean, you know, this is the reality too. Is like when you're younger, right? Like in the 20s and 30s, like, and maybe in the 30s, but even like in the 20s or so, it's like, it's not often that somebody of that age bracket's gonna like fork up the money to go elaborate with parties, mm-hmm. right? They're just gonna go out,
right?
But I think it's, you know, when you get in your 40s and stuff, you can have a nice private party, and you know, you enjoy that, and then you know, you get to play all that music. That's cool.
Yeah.
Do you have any sort of standout events that you've done where you're like, whoa, or have you played for, have you done any celebrity work or anything like that?
I'm trying to think, as far as celebrities go, and I should know his name, but I don't. I did one recently. They told me the day of, I thought I was the most famous guy there, but apparently I wasn't. There was a the groom's brother has a Netflix comedy special, and his name escapes me at this point. So that was pretty cool. I met him. He was a nice guy. But as far as events that have stuck out, last year I opened up the Dick's Sporting Goods up in Binghamton, which that's their home. Dick's was founded in Binghamton, New York, and so I think it's probably the biggest one in the world. They have the outdoor cage, and then they have the other stuff inside. So they have that in Johnson City. So I did like the opening field day thing for them. So that was pretty cool to do that. I have another corporate client that I've gone to Philly. And then last year we went down and we did a thing at the Borgata Forum, and they did this whole carnival theme, which was just amazing to see. And then the lighting that they did along with that. What else have we done? Last year at Mohegan Sun, they had the, how did I forget about this one? They had the Maxwell Awards, which is a football award. So Jalen Hurts was there,
yeah.
A bunch of other football players, guys, and everything from college and high school all the way up to.
Yeah, some of the Penn Staters were there.
Yeah. Yep. So that was pretty neat to do that and be able to meet some of those guys.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Biggest event you've ever done?
Probably the one at the Borgata. I believe they had 1,500, 2,000 people there.
Yeah.
So that was probably the biggest one.
Are you up on a stage at that point?
Yeah.
Yep. So you're overlooking the crowd?
Yeah.
I mean, are you filled with adrenaline at that point?
Yeah, for the most part you are. Like, it doesn't come into my mind that anybody is even focusing on me. Same with the Maxwell Awards last year. So they actually set me up in the corner of the stage. So I was up there when the guys would walk across the stage, and, you know, so everybody's kind of looking at me, and I would play the music in between, and they let me pick all the music. They didn't, you know, nobody had any requests of what they wanted to walk up to.
That's interesting.
It was, and it was pretty cool because we had, I had on a headset. So normally I'm wearing headphones like this to be able to listen to myself and know what's going on before it actually goes out over the speakers. That's why we wear the headphones. So With that, I'm wearing the headphones because it's almost like a TV production where they're saying, all right, Jared, in 5 seconds, we're coming to you, play your song. And then so I'm kind of going back and forth with the headphones and all that. So and then at the end of it, they're just like, you know what, do your thing for the next half hour and entertain the people. So that was pretty cool. But and my son, he asked me if I ever get nervous when I'm up there in front of people at the weddings or whatever, in front of the people. And I told him, to be honest with you, I don't actually think about it. I assume, because no one's ever said anything, that the introductions, and I've seen video, that the intros and everything go well when I'm introducing bridal parties and all of that. But in my head, I don't necessarily black out, but I don't remember any of it. When I start reading the names, like, it's over from that point. I'm like Ron Burgundy. Whatever's on that sheet is what I'm going to say. And so we, you know, I just roll with it, and I don't think about anything from that point on as far as what's coming out of my mouth on the mic. Like, it's just happening. I don't think about being at the center of attention anyway.
So. Did you watch this year's Super Bowl?
Yep.
Did you see that DJ who was playing?
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, when the camera went behind him. Because I think Tiesto was supposed to be there, and then I think he bailed or something happened. But they showed that DJ in his little booth area, and then the camera went behind him, and he was just – the whole stadium was in front of him. And I was like – I got the chills for him.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's your audience at that state. At that point right there, that's your audience. And he was mixing and doing his thing, and I was like, man.
Yep.
That's got to be a highlight of his life.
Oh, it's got to be. And I think that – you know, the mindset there is similar, that we are so into what we're doing. And you've prepped, like you have an idea of what you're doing, but we're so focused on what we're doing that all of this, we're not even thinking about that. We're thinking about what we're doing.
Yeah.
And so that's the only thing there is that maybe keeps you from getting nervous on a stage like that.
Yeah, I guess if you're a flying blind, right? If somebody goes, hey, so on and so forth, just broke their ankle, we need you to jump up there and take over. Well, then the sweat starts rolling. But if you're organized, you know, the thing that becomes a nightmare, and I would assume that this has to happen from time to time. You know, we're in production, we're doing video work and doing all kinds of stuff all the time. It's those little technical things that take place. Mm-hmm. You know, a power strip goes wonky on you, or something goes crazy, and then suddenly, there's silence, or your monitors go out or something, or you're getting a real bad feedback or a crackle in a speaker, and you're like, ah, you know, those are like the worst moments.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had my, you know, a handful of those. The mic blows up a little bit when I turn it on to maybe do some hype work during the dancing, you know, and all of a sudden it just, you get that big.
Yeah, you're like, ah.
So there's that. There was one venue where the power kept going out, and so, you know, what do you do? That I turn the speakers down, and it's like, all right, how hard can we push this here? Like, what are we gonna do? So you just kind of ride it out with what you can, and then.
Did you ever play an event where somebody came over and told you how to shut the music off or lower the volume?
Oh, I'm usually pretty conscious of that, but there have been probably once or twice where they do have you turn it down, but not too bad. We're usually pretty good. So
yeah, it's always like a party bummer. It's like you're doing something at a private event and now the neighbors are bitching. It's like, oh, come on.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, if you're doing like weddings and stuff like that, mostly. I imagine that's all going to be in a controlled environment.
Yeah, I mean, some of the newer venues or barn venues, they do have neighbors, some of them. So they do have ordinances out there that all the music's got to be off at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, the people that, and you want to, you know, you want to be on the best side of the venue owners. So, you know, the people might be screaming one more song, but it's like, we're already at 10:07. We can't push this too far.
Yeah. Yeah, is there like a little tricks of the trade you guys have to sort of smooth that out and end the night, right? Because it's always funny. You always know, you hear the shift and you go, oh, that's the last one right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you kind of, you get a feel of kind of, And that's to sometimes when I'm planning, I work backwards a little bit. So, yeah, I want to know what I'm going to – I like to know what am I going to come out the gate with. So when I'm talking to couples, sometimes I'll ask them, hey, what's of your 20 songs that you really like here, what's your favorite one? And then I'll kind of build a little set to open up around that so that I have a good direction. And then I like to think also, all right, how am I going to close this out? Because it's like, in a way, a jigsaw puzzle where I'm working with – mixing the song so that they're in key, so that they're the same speed, and then do I want to drop into a different speed for effect? Do I want to do a scratch intro for this next thing or an outro scratch for that? So it's like a little puzzle where you're piecing all these songs together, and then, you know, let's say you're going till 10 o'clock, it's 9:30, okay, I've got a half hour left. These are the songs I want to play. How am I going to get from here to there most effectively and kind of end on a high note? Because I think it was Questlove for the Roots that he said the thing that people remember you for are the first 20 minutes and the last 20 minutes. Like, you can have a horrible set in between. Just make sure the first 20 and the last 20 are what they're going to remember you for. So
build up the close.
I always try to have a strong opening. I mean, I try to have a strong set overall, of course, but, you know, you want to open and you want to close extremely well.
That's cool. So I always thought it would be fun to be a DJ at a strip club, you know, be the hype man with the next up is Rosie. Like, not that I would want to do it for a long time, but just literally just so that I can go do that for a whole night and like do all the stupid enunciations of the names.
They have a DJ conference every year. It's the big one in Atlantic City. And that, I think it was 2 years ago, there was a seminar about being a strip club DJ. I didn't go to it, but there was
I would definitely go to that seminar. I mean, it's so humorous because they all have that thing. I mean, I was a bouncer for years, so I definitely made my rounds. I had to work in those places a long time ago, and it was always funny because no matter who was DJing, it was always like, up next, Cinnamon, you know? Put your hands together, fellas. And it's just like, oh, this is great. Yeah, it just sounds like fun. But music, I mean, it's again, they're playing music, they're having fun, they're doing the thing, they're the life of the party. I get it. I could completely see like why you love doing what you're doing. That's awesome. Now, is this a thing where you're gonna hire other DJs? Like, is there a long term model for this? What's the road look like?
So, that's a great question, and I ask myself that every day. So, I have thought about it, and I have the nice thing, and I'll put this out there about the DJ community. For the most part, I would say, especially here, not even here, because other people that I've met along the way, it's somewhat of a tight-knit community in the fact that, like, being a sports guy growing up, right, I was extremely competitive. Not, like, weird competitive, but just I was competitive. And so being a DJ, I thought, especially when I first got into it, like, you know, I want to be the best. I want to be the best DJ out there. And then somewhere along the way, you realize it doesn't matter. And maybe this is age too, but you realize, does that matter? Does it matter if I'm the best, or does it just matter that I'm doing the best for that client that night, that I was the best guy for the job? And so what I found both here in NEPA and other places I've been is that DJs are very supportive of each other. And I think that comes out of, you know, the need for camaraderie. I think a lot of DJs are introverts too. Like, they're probably just hanging out during the day and then they go do their thing at night and that's it. But also, we may need each other at some point, right? If I get sick before a wedding, I've got to have a list of people that I can call on that are going to be able to go and fill in for me. So that's one thing that I've found, is that the camaraderie and the support are extremely strong around these parts, at least, that if somebody needed help or, hey, you need somebody to fill in for you, there's a lot of guys, and they're not like trying to be better than the next guy. They're all like, we're kind of in this together. It's pretty cool. Like, I did not expect that. And
yeah, you think competition, right? You go, would, oh, these are going to be cutthroat.
Yeah, I would think competition. Like that guy that I said I opened up for, right? So I didn't know him. It was just, he was a guy that I followed on social media for a long time. And then we started talking. And I wasn't trying to compete with him. I knew he was better than me. And he still is. I consider him, he's one of these guys that to see him perform live, can I shout him out? Or
yeah, it's up to you, man.
Super DJ Rich Steele, shout him out. And there's a lot of other guys out there, so I don't want to just say him, but shout out to him. He's a guy that I would say he's one of or the best DJ club DJ out there. And I know he does other, you know, prom school events and stuff like that. But just to talk to him and then have him kind of invite me in the DJ booth with him while he's DJing. So, all right, now I'm getting some firsthand of how this guy's mind works. How does he do things? And so to be able to see that and for him to invite me into his world to see that, like, that was cool. I appreciated that. So I know that was kind of long-winded about that, but I wanted to kind of get that out there that probably most people think that DJs are extremely competitive with each other, but they're actually, like, they're DMing each other. They're asking questions. Hey, how do you like this? What do you think about that? And yeah, it's cool. So as far as hiring other DJs, I've got another DJ that I've worked with, Make It Rain Entertainment, Nick Gorfa. And he's done some events for me as well, and he did a great job, no complaints. But for me, I don't feel that there was risk with him, but the risk and reward, right? So I've built this reputation of, at this point, I feel like I'm a major player in the wedding industry in this area. So I've built this reputation over the past few years. I've got the reviews on the Wedding Wire, the Knot on Google, Facebook, right? So that's all there. This is the everything is built at this point. All it takes is one bad event. And if there's going to be a bad event, it's going to be me. I don't want it to be somebody else. If somebody's going to blow this whole thing up, it's going to be me. I don't want it to be somebody else because I don't want to put that on someone. One bad review, probably that's not going to kill me, right? But
it'll aggravate the hell out of you, though.
It will aggravate me because yeah, I will constantly be thinking, well, this is what I would have done. Why didn't they do this? So growing the business, it's a constant give and take for me, right? So do I want to have something to hand over to my son? He's six. He loves the fact that his dad's a DJ, right? So they do a fun walk at their school, and they ask me to do it. And I ask him, Tyson, do you want me to come DJ at your school? Yeah, yeah. He's all excited. His friends are high-fiving when they're coming by. And so that's nice, right? So I like that. Do I want to have something that he can take over someday? He wouldn't have to go to college. He could just step right into the business, just let it run. Keep going. It's here.
Here you go.
The keys are there. So for all the weddings that we do, there's only one of me, and a lot of them are going to fall on the same date. So for the 70 that I do, I probably turn away 40, 50 a year. Now I'm referring them to people. I'm saying, hey, check out Make It Rain. Check out these other guys. But so I don't know. That's a great question. I know this was an extremely long-winded answer.
That's it.
But
it's what's going on in your head.
I have no idea what it will bring long term. I would like it to continue on, but it would have to be set up where I bring people in slowly, train them to do exactly what I do, and you know I want the setup to look the same. We have a very clean setup. It looks good. It sounds good. So I want, you know, it's almost like going to a chain restaurant. You know what to expect going into it. The DJs are going to be a little different. The cook's a little different at each one, right? But when you walk in, it's going to at least look the same. It's going to look familiar. So that's the idea that I have for that. But in the age of social media, I think that it gives myself an opportunity to do a lot of things that I couldn't have done back in 1982. So, you know, I can be my own Tiësto in a way. I can have an audience on YouTube that tunes in and watches me. And YouTube has been my biggest growth as far as social media. I put my mixes out on there. People listen to them. And, you know, my son, Dad, are you famous yet? No, but people online are saying a lot of nice things about the music I'm playing. So it gives you that audience that I can continue to grow.
Do you make mixes like that are available for sale, like on like SoundCloud or those other platforms?
I don't sell them. They're all just there on YouTube for free. So YouTube's kind of a slippery slope because of copyright.
Mm-hmm.
Now I don't make anything off of those videos. That goes to the copyright holders, to the artists, which it should. So
you have how many subscribers do you have now?
I have 2,500 on
nice.
There, and. But there, you know, that's YouTube also, you got to figure out the algorithm.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Last year I went from putting out a mix every week that saw 70,000 views, then the next one, you know, 20, 50,000, where I'll drop a mix last week and I've got 300 views. Well, what the hell just happened? What happened to the algorithm? What changed? So that's the thing with them is you're constantly trying to figure out what's changing with YouTube? How do I stay relevant there? But I have the base. Like, I have a very strong base on YouTube that they make the comments on the videos. So whether I get 70,000 views or whether I get 300, it's the same core that are going to tune in and listen, make the comments. If I do a live mix on there, which I try to do once a week, I'll go on and I'll DJ on camera, live, interact with people. Like, it's kind of a community. Like, we have the same group of people showing up week to week.
Yeah.
And that's another thing as far as consistency that I need to be a little bit better on the YouTube part, taking that more serious maybe. That, all right, no matter what, I have to tune in or I have to play at 10 o'clock on Wednesday because that's when my fans are tuning in, 10 o'clock. Maybe I could do an 8 o'clock show. You know, because we're older now, I'm not going to do 10 o'clock. I can do an 8 o'clock show after the kids are in bed and the parents want to just listen to music while they're browsing on their phone. So those are the types of things that I'm thinking about going forward. Now, because there is going to come a point where I'm not going to want to go out, and weddings are a long day. I get there 3 hours early. I'm there in, you know, half hour, 45 minutes cleaning up afterward. So maybe 10 years from now, I don't want to be in the wedding business anymore, but I'll have this other avenue of social media where I can still entertain people, play the music that I like to play, and just kind of figuring out a way to monetize that. Now, people can give tips during the show, which happens occasionally, which is cool, but, you know, it's not going to replace the income of actually going out and doing something.
Are you on TikTok?
I'm on. I don't do a ton on there. I need to.
Oh.
I know.
You're missing the opportunity. Yeah, because YouTube's, you know, not going to favor you the same way right now. There's so much opportunity there. It just takes one video and whammo.
Yeah.
You're going to have yourself, you know, we made one video here just in a series of videos that we were putting on TikTok, and it took us from like 300 some followers. We don't have a whole lot that's making us attractive, right? Because our services are our services. So we show kind of behind the scenes stuff. We're humanizing our staff, but mm-hmm. we did something that was a wacky Wednesday thing that we were doing, which was like dad jokes and so on. The one video took off and we went from 300 followers to 26,000.
Oh, wow.
Just like that.
Yeah.
In 1 week, we had one video that took off and it was over 2 million views.
Mm.
And it's like, if you're especially doing what you're doing, yeah, because I love music. So a lot of my feed is seeing I don't remember the guy's name now offhand, but I see his videos all the time. He's constantly taking hip hop and country and he does the blends.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so cool to watch that take place. And he's just seeing millions of views at this point.
Yeah.
But he's driving his traffic from TikTok over to YouTube.
Mm.
And I think that's really cool. Also, are you doing shorts?
I do. And that's what I was kind of betting on, shorts, that you know, Google would win over TikTok. I was betting that Shorts would win over TikTok, which they're not winning.
Yeah. But how many are you doing?
So for a while, I was probably doing 3 to 5 a week, and now I'm down to maybe one. Again, this is where I'm failing on consistency, but they did just launch where you can go live in the short format, and they will put that in with the shorts. So the last 3 live shows that I did that on my phone, DJ'd, put the feed in, you know, the music feed through the phone, and DJ'd through the live or through the short setting. And, you know, I saw the viewership go way up compared to if I'm just going live in a traditional YouTube setup.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, the platform is there. And to your point, you got to be consistent. Yeah. That's where it gets to be a little bit of a pain, because you're just like, man, how long am I going to keep doing this? You know, it's like you're waiting for your break almost, but it happens.
It does, and that's the thing, is it does come eventually, and it may be 1 year, maybe 2, but you just got to keep after it. And so that's what I'll do as far as the shorts and the TikToks go.
That's cool. Now, you said you grew up in upstate New York. So you like Buffalo area?
No, actually, so Western Catskills, we'll call it. So near Oneonta,
okay,
Binghamton area.
Yeah. There's a company we work with now. It's actually opening up in Westkill.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, middle of nowhere.
Yep.
Yeah. How old were you when you, like, up until what age did you live there?
I lived there until 2015. So I met my wife in 2012. She was from down here, and we met through friends. And at the time, it was easier for me to move down here than for her to move up there. So I came down here, and I've been here since 2015.
You said, what high school did you go to?
Walton Central.
And I'm always interested when I don't know it from out of the area. What was the mascot?
Warrior.
Oh, it was a Warrior. Yep. Okay. Yep. You said you played sports?
I did. I played basketball and baseball.
I was going to say, yeah, height. So I was hoping you played basketball. Was that something that, like, was just for fun, or did you think that was going to turn into something maybe?
I think I thought I was going to probably excel at that. I did get injured along the way my senior year, so that hindered things, but I don't play anymore. I've kind of backed off of that, but I played, even after that, I played a lot of basketball in my life, and I was able to go and play against some of the, like, NBA developmental league players. I've played a lot, you know, against a lot of those guys. And, you know, that was fun for me to gauge where I was at as far as, you know, what could have been. I wasn't going pro, but I did think that I would play D1 at some point. But
yeah. How tall are you?
6'5".
Yeah. I mean, That's it. That's where you need to be.
I always felt, or now I feel like I was Luka before Luka came along.
if you had had the opportunity to play somewhere, where would you have wanted to have gone?
I would have wanted to go to Georgetown. That's where I wanted to play. I was a huge Allen Iverson fan, so I would have loved to play there. But I mean, the other, Binghamton, that was a D1 school too. And yeah, you're in the America East, which isn't, you know, the Big East, which is what Georgetown is in. And that was like the prime conference with Syracuse and those guys back in the day. But yeah, it would have been great to play there, but it's okay.
Well, I mean, life happens. Yeah. You got an injury. I understand. And you said baseball too?
Mm-hmm.
What position did you play?
I played first base and pitcher, and I will say basketball is my favorite sport as far as what I was, and I was best at that. But baseball was probably my most, it was the most fun to play for me. I don't know if it was like the group of guys that were on the team in high school, and then after high school there was this thing called the Southern Tier Athletic Baseball League, the Stable League, and it had just grown men out playing baseball doubleheaders on Saturday and Sunday.
That's cool.
And it was cool. And then they started like this wooden bat league. So if you were 30 and over, you could play in the wooden bat league so that you didn't break your bat every time somebody threw a pitch. So eventually, you know, I graduated to the wooden bat. Or maybe it was 28 or 25 and over. I forget. But it was cool. Like we had a good group of guys, and then we'd all go out to dinner and movie, at, you know, that night and hang out. So that was – baseball was probably – as far as fun goes, like I just had a blast playing baseball.
Now, when you're reaching your senior year, you're thinking about the future. What was Jared set out to do in life?
I don't know if Jared really had a plan. I knew I was going to college, but I was one of those kids. I went to Pace University in Pleasantville, New York, and so that's down in like Westchester County, just outside the city. And I guess I was going to go for marketing. I don't even know if I knew what that meant at the time. I don't know if I knew. But it was just like, all right, I'm graduating high school. This is what I do, right? And I wish in a lot of ways that I had probably taken a year or two and not done that, got a plan, not wasted the money. Because, this is embarrassing to admit, but I was on like the 7-year plan or something. Like I transferred a few times. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I went to Pace. I transferred to Oneonta State. I was in the music and business class or something. And then I decided, well, I don't think that I want to be here. Then I transferred to Binghamton University, and I was in like the, I forget what they call it, but it was almost like a pre-law thing. I was like, all right, I'm gonna be a lawyer. And then I started thinking, well, I don't want to go to school for – I've already transferred this many times. What do I want to go to school for another three, four years for? I need to go back to wherever I can finish fastest and just get a degree and move on, because I've already put the time and money in. I gotta come out with something. So I went back to Pace and graduated from there with a degree in finance. And that's what I did up until I became a DJ. And
you were in finance?
I was in finance.
You like banking and stuff? Or?
So I was an investment advisor.
Okay.
From 2008 until 2018, 2019.
You did not enjoy that?
For a time I did. And then it just, I felt like I was too accessible, where I would never... I felt like if the client needed me and they called, I had to answer. I had to be there for
work
them.
Life.
There was no balance for me. I felt like I couldn't even go on vacation, because what if somebody called, they needed something and it was emergency, they had to do this. And so I didn't enjoy that part of it. And I met a lot of great people, and it was kind of it was just time for me to move on and do something that I really enjoy and luckily, somehow has worked out in my favor.
So. Well, I was going to say, and I don't want to pry. This is none of my business, and you can kind of wave me off on this if you want. But I think about, like, you know, I think it's interesting when you say, well, I had a career. This is what I was doing, and then just one day, right? I decided I don't want that work life balance to be screwed up anymore. I really want to get my life back. I want to be able to spend time with my family. I want to be able to sort of control what I'm doing. And I think some listeners will go, well, that's nice, right? Like, I guess it sounds as if like you achieved some level of success doing what you were doing, and that gave you the ability to do that, right? Because, I mean, I think some people maybe just want to go jump and do that, but then they're extraordinarily concerned about their finances.
Yeah. So I think that I definitely had put myself in a position to do that. And being married, my wife's a teacher, so we had that as well. So it wasn't like I didn't have savings to fall back on for a little bit. And she, you know, she was still working. So I did have somewhat of a safety net. So I guess, you know, it's not a huge inspirational story necessarily where I risked it all and here I am.
No, but I mean, I think the important message is like, because that's I think more or less what I like to try to make sure that the audience is hearing is that you may want that, or you may think that, right? And I guess, hey, if that's what you're going to do, go do it, right? But I don't think that just up in one day, like we were kind of talking about. Like, it sounds like you really were thinking about this, and then you started planning, you started thinking about it, and then one day that was it.
Yeah, I definitely was doing some planning along the way. You know, I wasn't necessarily sharing it with everyone what I wanted to do, but
everybody around you was probably like, because I know what it was like when I went into business, and everybody's like, really? Like, don't you just want to go get a job and like, you know, like really just put your time in somewhere? I was like, no, I got to go do this. I knew it. It was in my gut. I was like, I have to go do this.
So I would say the one thing that I had going for me is I never had a real job, so to speak. So growing up where I grew up, my dad had a construction business that did primarily roofing. So I carried more bundles of shingles up on roofs during summertime from the time I was like 14 all through college, which was, 7 years, I said, something like that. So I carried a lot of shingles. I put on a lot of roofs in my life. So my boss was my dad. And that might have been harder than having another boss, maybe. But it never felt that way. It was always fun. It was always fun to go to work. We had a lot of fun, a lot of laughs. So from there, becoming, you know, going into the investment advisor field, you're kind of your own boss. Like, you're gonna make of it what you do. So yes, there are some people here and there that you have to answer to, but for the most part, like, you're out there and you're just doing your own thing. And so from the roofing to the investment advisor to becoming a DJ and being my own boss here, like, I've always had that entrepreneurial spirit, I guess, that I've never had that like 9-to-5 job where I had to go clock in and be there at a certain time and clock out at 5 and, hey, it's all over. I've always been, you know, when it's time to work, I work, and when it's over, it's over, whenever that is. So
that's cool. I mean, was your dad a big influence behind you from a business owner standpoint?
Probably, without knowing it. You know, I think that my mom had a normal job, we'll call it. And
the 9-to-5.
She had the 9-to-5, and he had the, you know, hey, we're going, it's not raining, so we're going to get there at 7, and we're going to go until we can't go anymore that day, and then we're going to do it all over again. So, and I guess I kind of liked that. Like, I felt free, right? So the cool thing with that is a couple weeks ago, I got to do a wedding in my hometown for the first time for a couple, the girl I graduated with. And so I got to go back and perform and DJ and all that in front of some people that I knew growing up. And so I told my dad, hey, you want to come help me set up? Now, I don't know what he thinks I do. Like, he's seen some of the live stuff I do online, but, you know, he listens to Willie's Roadhouse
on Sirius.
On Sirius. Like, that's his radio station, and he's tuning into Gunsmoke on TV. So he doesn't necessarily know what Jared's up to. You know, he just knows he became a DJ and he's still got a house. That's
yeah. Dad's looking, going, all right, well, you're paying your bills. Yeah.
So that was cool. He got to come help me, you know, set everything up and see what the production is. All right, here's the lighting, the sound, the mic. Here's how we do the ceremony at the church. So I think for the first time, he got to see, like, okay, this is bigger than what I thought it was.
Yeah, it's the real deal.
This is actually real. I can see now why he likes what he does and how he still has a house.
So. Right? Yeah, that's funny. Was your mom think?
She's supportive all the time. Like, I could have said anything. Like, I'm gonna
open up a popsicle stand.
Yeah, and she'd be like, you know what? Honey, that's a great idea. You're going to do great with that, I think.
That's cool.
And then I could change my idea the next week, and she'd be 100% supportive. So I did another one closer to home a couple of years ago, and she actually, I asked her if she wanted to come work the photo booth for me that night so that she could kind of, so she got to actually experience the wedding and everything that was going on, and it was a great wedding, a great crowd. So that was nice for her to see. My dad didn't actually get to witness the actual wedding party itself, but at least he got to see kind of the other stuff.
Wait, so do you have other things? I heard you say photo booth.
Yeah, so that's one of the things we offer in one of the packages is a photo booth as well.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, yep. So it's ours is 100% digital, where you go up, we have props, we supply different backdrops that the people pick. You get your picture taken, and then it texts you the picture. I didn't want to go the print route just because, and you can tell from talking to me, like, I'm extremely passionate about being a DJ and doing my thing. I don't want to be worrying about something running out of ink or the printer jammed up. Like, yeah. When I'm in my zone doing the DJ thing, I don't want to worry about the photo booth. But I always have an assistant there to work the photo booth and make sure that runs smooth.
That's cool. Yeah. So mom came and worked the...
We put her on the payroll that night, and she came and worked the photo booth, so that was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Now, do you have your brothers and sisters?
No, only child.
Wow.
Yep.
Only child.
Only child.
That's my mom. Mom's like, that's my baby. That's cool. At some point, you said you moved here in 2015. Mm-hmm. Now, is that's because you met your wife?
Yeah.
And you met, you used to come down in like any PA?
Yeah, so she would come up one weekend, I'd come down the next, like starting in 2012, 2013. So we traveled up and down 81 for a couple years and then decided to settle down here.
And your parents still live back?
Yeah, they still live there.
That's cool.
Yep.
It's not far, right? I mean, what's a ride for you?
It's 2 hours from our house to theirs, so it's really not that bad.
Yeah, that's same day travel. That's cool.
Yeah, yep.
Nice. Yeah. Now there's this other thing, this hip hop coffee, right? So you've been doing your thing since 2019. I'm staring at a bag with a hip hop gingerbread man on it, and we got some coffee in front of us. I asked you pre-recording. I said, is this a brick and mortar? You go, maybe down the road, 2025. Maybe we'll think about that. But I got to know about this coffee. It looks really cool. Tell me all about that.
Yeah, so in November, right before Thanksgiving last year, I launched the Hip Hop Coffee Shop. It's something that actually the idea was born during the pandemic, I believe, because during the pandemic, we didn't have any events, of course. I was stuck home like everybody else. But every DJ, including myself, we started doing live streams, whether it was on... At that time, you could go on Facebook, Instagram, and then Twitch became the one where everybody kind of migrated to. So I'm doing my live stream on there, and I'm doing it one morning, having my coffee, and I say, welcome to Gatsby's Hip Hop Coffee Shop. So write that down. I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back to that. So I decided, all right, I wrote it down after the show, and I'm thinking, the Hip Hop Coffee Shop. I like that. And so I started thinking about it. Well, what could I do? Do I want to have a store? Do I want to do this? Do I want to do that? And then, I get back into doing my events and kind of put it on the back burner. And then something in 2023, fast forward, I decide, you know what? And this also is kind of part of the long game, right? You'd asked me before about what do I see myself with the Gatsby sound and lighting business. I think that this plays a part in it as well, that I decided, all right, I want to have my own brand of coffee, but it's got to be good. It's got to be the best I can get my hands on. So I started talking to different roasters, and there was one from Binghamton, New York that I had known about. And so I went up and I met with them and we hit it off immediately. And they offered, I'd never been a big flavored coffee guy, never liked it. But then I tried some of theirs to sample things and I started to like the flavors. So then I started thinking, all right, I got to develop an idea here that's different. I've got a decent name, but what's different about it other than the name? So we came up with, we have a core five that are the four are the pillars of hip hop. So when you talk about hip hop culture, we've got graffiti, is one thing, one of the pillars that makes it up. So that's one of our coffee flavors. That's a peanut butter chocolate. We've got the MC, so like the wrapper. That's the dark roast. We have the DJ, and that's kind of a medium light roast one. And then we have the B-Boy breakfast blend, so like the B-Boy dancers. So those are the four pillars that make up hip-hop when you talk about hip-hop. And the B-Boy breakfast blend is like a lighter breakfast roast. Probably my favorite. It wasn't going in, but it is now. And then I have one called the OG, which is kind of just like a catch-all. Like that's one that everybody kind of likes. It's just, it's not not too light, not too dark. It's just a kind of a dark medium roast. And then we plan on, you know, we'll put out seasonal flavors. So we just had our Valentine's ones, which are like chocolate raspberry ones. And we did Christmas ones, which is the ginger bread. We have ho-ho-hos in this house. We got a hip-hop Santa Claus on the label.
I have a recommendation. I have a request.
A request.
I have a request. If you get an espresso line, right? Come out with an espresso line, and I'd love to see it called Beatbox Bold.
Oh, I like it. Yeah. I like it. So that's kind of that's where we started. We partnered with this, and you know, I design all the labels and write the stories for them myself. The labels, at this point, I use AI, so I write in the prompts, and you know, we get what we get. I don't know if I'm going to be shunned for that. But.
No, you got it. This is where we're at.
So I use AI, but that's not to say I wouldn't love to use local artists. It's not to say I wouldn't love to do that, and that is definitely the plan, to have local artists design the logos for me, or the designs for me on here. But I want to be able to make it worth their while, right? And at this point, this is a side hustle for me. So I'm not going to pour. I can't pour a ton of money into that. And I want them to be compensated for what they do, because they're artists. Just like I feel I'm an artist and want to be compensated for what I do. So that's something that I'd like to do. Limited edition releases with certain designs on the bags that are going to feature the local artists, and people have been real supportive of it. I think it was right before Christmas, I did a pop-up over at the Haberdashery in the 900 building. Always a pleasure working with Eric over there. And, you know, we sold some coffee, did a tasting and things like that. So we got the name out there a little bit. And as far as future plans.
Wait, I have another idea.
Okay.
You got to make a cold brew. And you got to serve it out of 40 ounces.
We're going to put it in Old English bottles.
The OE bottles, right? We got to do it with the 40 ounce with a cold brew. Oh, my God. It would be so great.
That would be.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's fine. So
I'm just, my creative juices are flowing now. We're talking coffee. And I'm like, man, this is fun.
So brick and mortar, you know, 2025, 2026, as I've talked about before, being persistent and consistent, but I'm also calculated in a lot of ways. I think that I've gotten to where I'm at by being calculated for the most part and not making huge rash decisions. I'm not afraid to take some risks, but you know, here in Northeast PA, there's no shortage of good coffee shops, but there's no shortage of good coffee shops that have also gone out of business, whether that be due to location, you know. So I want to make sure that if we do the brick and mortar, which is my dream, I would love to have that, because I have so many ideas for how we can do it and give it this hip-hop vibe and have just the nostalgia in there of creating this whole thing. But it's got to be the right spot. It's got to be the right location, and it's got to be the right time. And so that's just kind of what I'm kind of lying in the weeds, waiting to pounce on something that I finally see. And I'm like, you know what? That's the spot. That's the location that we want. And now is the time to do it.
That's awesome. Are you selling this now?
Yeah.
What, is it just online?
So it's online at thehiphopcoffeeshop.co. And we have some merch on there. We've got T-shirts, we've got mugs, we've got tumblers, and then we have the coffee selections, of course. And right now we have the Irish Cream Dream for St. Patty's Day is available until St. Patty's Day.
That's awesome. And are you shipping like all over the place or?
Yeah, so we have shipments going to we've shipped to California, Texas, South Carolina, Florida, New York. I mean, it's been well received. I think people really enjoy the flavors. I think they enjoy the regular roast as well. Like it is, and I'm not just saying it because it's something that we have. It's actually really good coffee, and it's one of those things. Like I get up at 5 a.m. Sometimes I get up at 4:30, and like, I'm pumped. I'm excited to go try out eggnoggy nog or something that day. Like, I got the whole lineup in my kitchen, and it's like, what am I going to have today? Like, I'm excited every day to go out and try a different one.
That's so cool. What are you dropping little bombs in your YouTube to promote it?
I do. You can get – there's the links at the bottom, and I usually have my mug that's the Hip Hop Coffee Shop mug that is on there, and then I'll strategically place one of these in the background of my feed or something. So it's out there, and I think that, you know, we usually get a decent number of orders. I don't know. I track some of it. I don't see how much of it comes from YouTube necessarily, but I know that people are clicking through and seeing it. So
yeah. Well, that's awesome. I love that. I've always had the desire to want to create a product like that and do something along those lines myself. So it's really neat to see something like that you had an idea about. It's very relevant to you, and you brought it to life, and now it's online. Hopefully someday we'll have the brick and mortar where I can come visit.
I hope so. It's having my own coffee shop has probably been something that I've wanted. I've always just liked the vibe of going into a coffee shop.
Oh, there's, yeah.
I think everybody that, whether you like coffee or not, like you just like the vibe of going in. So I think where I'm at now at this age, and again, going back to the 40-year-old birthday parties, it's a good time for this. Like we're, you know, I do have a son, and probably other 40-year-olds, we're all in that, you know, they have 6-year-olds, 10-year-olds, whatever. But we're not going to go out to the club. We're not going out to the bar anymore.
No.
But you know where we can go and still,
coffee
still have fun? We can go to the coffee shop.
You're not lying. My parents live in Raleigh, and when I go down to visit them, that's like one of my places that I either want to go to breweries or I want to go to the coffee shops. Mm-hmm. And I always, always, always bring back whatever unique roasts they have. Mm-hmm. I got to say, it's kind of cool because the coffee shop, you know, the sort of stereotypical, you know, Starbucks environment is, you know, that's around, but people are getting really unique, you know. And I thought this one that I went in, I'm not into running at all by any means, but I went into this one coffee shop and the whole place was themed for runners. Mm. And so when you walked in, there was the coffee bar and all that, but then all on the wall was all running sneakers and running apparel, and then there was like different things that were made for runners and books, and like that was what the whole place was. And mm-hmm. people were sitting around like as if they were ready to go on like a 5K. Right? I'm like, but the coffee was damn good. But I see, like that's what I mean. Like I love the idea that creative places like that could thrive, and yeah. they weren't not busy. You know what yeah. I mean? So it's kind of cool to think that, and you're right. You know, again, the 40th birthday party concept, we're there.
Yeah.
You know, it's nostalgia in our generation now. Yep.
So that's the idea for that. That's the plan. Like, I want to have a DJ booth in there that you walk in and, you know, Gatsby's on the ones and twos playing Hot in Here by Nelly or something, or you know, Country Grammar. We're in there playing hip hop and just setting the vibe, and you can have different themes for different days, and you know, throwback night, we can do this, we can do that. So, and I've got thankfully my mom saved just about every toy that I ever had in my life, so I've got all my sports collectibles and all kinds of stuff to outfit this place. Like, I'm excited to be able to do all these different things. And you know, I've got my, remember the little penny commercials? I've got the figures. Like, they're ready to go. They're ready to put out on display at this place. So, so I'm excited about it. We're just kind of, you know, we got to find the right place and go from there. So my wife, she's definitely on board with the idea. I think that she would love it. I know she would. She talks about it. Every coffee shop we go into, or if we go to certain places, this would be perfect for that. You know, we'll see when it comes time to pull the trigger.
I think there's a little proof in the pudding in regards to the concept. I mean, we had one of our guests that came in here was from up in Scranton, Bartari.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you went back years ago, that wouldn't have been a real big thing because it would have been like, man, we're kind of over that.
Mm-hmm.
Now the appreciation for that nostalgia is back.
Yeah.
And you can go up, you could drink, you could eat, and you can have this sort of entertaining evening with all these games.
Right.
And that's the stuff that we enjoyed when we were kids. We would huddle into the mall,
yep,
and everybody would meet at the arcade or something. Like, so it's a little bit of that coming back. So
yeah,
that'll be really exciting. I can't wait to hear all the ideas or see it as it comes to life. So
yeah, well, looking forward to it.
So one last question before we get out of here, because in case anybody wants to know, this Gatsby, right? I mean, I'm gonna guess it's because of the concept of the Great Gatsby, the party, you know, the thing. Am I on track?
You got it. He threw the biggest party there were. So if you want to throw the biggest party, you know where to come.
Right as you walk out of this room, you'll have to take a look at one of the pieces of art that we have up on the wall. One of the local artists did it for us, and his theme was the Great Gatsby, and it was like how we celebrate with our clients when we experience success. That's what that was supposed to represent.
Nice.
So he has like this little cool shout out to Eric Bessart. He did like a little VIP section that was roped off with our logo on the metal posts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So to close out, we are going to do a giveaway, right?
Yeah.
So you said that you have like a set of tumblers and a bag of one of your coffees.
Yep.
So super cool. For any new listeners, the way that our giveaways work is that you're going to have to like, share, and then comment a keyword from today's episode in the comment section on the Getting to Know the 570 podcast page, and so on our Facebook page. And so then that will be the day that we release the episode. We always give the keyword away in the body of the context, but you know, the point here is that if there's a keyword and you have no idea what it means, go listen to the episode. Don't just cheat. Don't be a cheater. Go look it up. Go figure it out what it's all about. Brian always has the keyword queued up. I hope he does today.
I do.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, there was a word thrown around a couple times. Excuse me. Transition.
Transition.
Yeah.
I like it.
Because he left.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The shitty whatever world over here, transitioned to becoming a DJ, and his transitions were on point.
On point.
Like it.
Right?
Like
transition.
It. Yep.
All right.
That's the word.
All right, that's cool.
So I also think that the hip-hop coffee shop needs like a rewards program. And it should definitely be called the Brutang Clan.
Nice.
I'm getting a lot of free knowledge here tonight. I like it.
I mean, these are ideas that if they don't come to life, Jared, we're going to be upset.
I know.
So there you have it, folks. The giveaway is a bag of coffee. Is that up to their choice? You're going to have to reach out to Jared, by the way. Just so you know, we don't do the giveaways here. What we'll do is a random selector, typically 2 to 3 weeks after the episode publishes. And then we'll as long as you like, share, comment, you will be eligible. We'll do a randomized selector on Facebook, and then we will let Jared know, DJ Gatsby know, who the winner is, and then you'll have to go to him to be able to collect your prize. So is it just any, like?
They can go on the website, and they can pick out whatever one they want.
Sweet. All right. And the tumblers, what is that, like you have different kinds or just?
So for the tumblers, it's just a stainless steel with the hip-hop coffee shop logo on it. Kind of like the Yeti ones, kind of like that.
Oh, okay.
Similar to that.
Real cool. All right. Well, Jared, is there anything else that you wanted to cover before we jump out of here?
No, I think that we covered a lot. I really appreciate you guys inviting me in and kind of opening up and telling my life story to you guys a little bit and what makes me tick and why I like what I do. So hopefully, we laughed about it before. I'm not necessarily a huge inspiration to just go quit your job tomorrow, but that it definitely can be done. Just plan and be strategic. And I think that I can maybe be an example that eventually you can do what you want to do.
I think one of my favorite parts of today, and just because family means the world to me as well, but I really loved hearing the idea. I mean, the thought is in your head. It's not like you're trying to paint a fake picture. But I understand how much family means to you. And when you said the bit about your son and, you know, the 6:30 in the morning, he's coming looking for dad, like, you know, that hits home. Like, mm-hmm. I think that's really cool. And I love the fact that you care so much about that and that you're also thinking about the future for your son. And that was probably one of my favorite parts of this interview episode.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, he's a big part of it. So.
Well, it'd be cool for him to one day go back and listen to this, mm-hmm. you know, because this is going to sit on the internet forever now.
Yep.
So, but, well, all right. Well, if there's nothing else, then I guess we'll get the hell out of here. That'll be my transition. And no, we're not going to do one more song. So that's it. Well, to all of our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. You know what? Actually, before I jump, Jared, tell everybody where they can find you.
So you can find me on all socials at Gatsby808. So Gatsby808.
And that's YouTube as well?
Yep.
Okay, super cool. Go subscribe to his YouTube. Give him a call. Ask him about upcoming weddings. How far booked out are you?
2025 we're booking now. We do still have some dates available in 24, but 2025 we're probably halfway there at this point.
Okay. Do you have an open availability calendar, or do they need to contact you?
They would have to contact me. There's on my website, GatsbySoundAndLighting.com. There's a contact form that you just put on there, and then it comes to me, and I'll fire back an email and a brochure that has everything kind of, and it's tailored whether you're looking for corporate, wedding, party, because obviously I'm plugging those 40th birthday parties pretty hard here today, folks. So,
well, that's where all your fun is. So, all right. Well, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. Like, share, comment, subscribe, do whatever it is you need to do. Most importantly, just keep tuning in, because that's why we keep doing this. We'll catch you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening and supporting the 570.
If you like this episode,
please leave a review and make sure to check out all the past episodes.
If you or someone you know is interested in being a guest,
message us on Facebook or email podcast@conversionworks.com.